morning, everyone. You're listening to Author Talk with me, Amy, Russell, Valerie, and Angela is our lovely guest today. So you guys, let's dive into the weekend because I've had one hell of a weekend and I'm ready to dive into it. So you guys all know last week I was single parenting it is how I call it. And I'm sure that that bothers Josh when I say that. I'm not a single parent, but when he goes out of town, I single parent, okay? And so I took off, went to my mom's. My nephew had his birthday party on Saturday, and we'll dive into that. So I took off and went to my mom's, worked at my mom's, hung out with my mom and my dad and my family and all this stuff. Went to the birthday party, which was at like a Kid Create studio. He's really big into Pokemon, so we made like a clay Pikachu thing the girls did, Pokemon everywhere. We had a ton of fun, okay? I was supposed to come home on Saturday. Weather down here, Angela, in Texas is a bipolar state, and it literally is like that when it comes to weather. It was supposed to be a lot of rain, so I decided to stay the extra day at my mom's, and I came home yesterday. Yesterday, you guys, was the car ride home from hell, okay? And I say that, and I really mean that. So
we've all had that, Amy.
Travel by yourself with two children, you're trying to entertain them. I know. You're trying to entertain them, right? So you put a movie on, you do all these things. My oldest decides that she's going to pick right then and there in the middle of nowhere, literally no gas stations, no nothing. It's freaking nowhere to get car sick and just starts puking over everything. Literally on everything. It was like The Exorcist, okay? If you've seen that movie, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So on top of all of that, I'm still an hour and a half from home. I haven't even made it to the Bastrop Buc-ee's yet. My car is smelling, so I'm gagging all the way home. My youngest is like, what's going on? So, and then I made it home, okay? But let me tell you what happened at my house while I was not home, because this is the icing on cake, you guys. So if you're new and listening to this, I am in the process of building a new home. I'm going to lease out this current house that you see, right? I'm going to become a project manager. Woohoo! And so, or management, whatever. And I had a house or someone coming to look at my house yesterday at 1 p.m. Okay. My husband was home. I told him, you have to get the hell out of the house by 12:45. Okay. So people can come and look. I don't want us here. Right. Well, my husband decides to pick right then and there at that moment to meet someone to sell his motorcycle. Well, then his battery for his motorcycle doesn't turn on. So then he has to go and buy another battery when we just already bought a battery. Okay. And then it's well past one. So the real estate agent and the people here to look at the house are here. My husband's here negotiating for his motorcycle bike and then calling me because he can't find the title. I'm dealing with The Exorcist here in the background of my car. And I just want to get home. Okay. So all I'm saying is I hope everybody had a much better weekend than my Sunday. Okay. That's all I'm going to throw out there. So,
and Amy, I hope you had a margarita last night. I hope you had a margarita last night.
You know, I'm hoping because my kids were up all night. I'm starting this new thing. It's a no makeup Monday, you guys. Okay. Cause I was up all night with my children readjusting. Cause when they're at my mom's, they stay up late. Meadow still wasn't feeling good. It was a fun time, you guys, just super fun, okay? You know, this is where I say that I am dealing with my little hostage situation with my children, okay? We all know this. I've said this several times. They hold me hostage quite frequently. Last night was no different at all. So I hope all of your guys' weekends was a lot better. I have photos from Russell and Valerie's weekend, and so I don't know which one of you two want to go first. I'm ready to show them, though, Russell. I'm prepared. Valerie, you're being pointed, so you're going
first. I see that. I see I've been chosen. I'm chosen. Amy, we can totally sympathize with you. We can totally sympathize with you. And I'm so thankful you're here on this Monday morning drinking your big cup of coffee because, girl, I know how you feel.
It's hot chocolate, but yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry about
it. I know. Yes, I know.
We'll get you something good later. I was blowing and going all last week, like every day I had something. And so, on Friday we had went to a gala, we had went to, opening of this place called Holy Moly. And so we had all these different things me and David were doing and just having a great time. But, then on by Saturday, we're like, you know what? It's kind of rainy. It's kind of cool. And I was just like in nesting mode or something. And so I just started like taking care of the house. Cause you know, like when you have so many things and you just have like 5 minutes to do what you want to do. Isn't that cool?
I love it.
That's what we did this weekend. But yeah. Okay. So, and then they were showing on the news this morning about the opening of this place. And I saw me and David on the video getting this picture done. Isn't that hilarious?
I love it. That's wonderful.
I just love when I have like 5 minutes to take and be home and be in that headspace of being at home. It's like such a thankful moment. We actually went and bought plants and we planted some new flowers. And
you went out in the rain. You are adventurous. You are adventurous.
It wasn't that bad here. It was not that bad, but just little things. And it was kind of nice. It's very like refreshing. And then I had a batch of sourdough that actually worked. It was my best loaf ever. So I was like,
I actually know what that means. I actually understand the significance of that. And that's magical.
Yeah. It was. I've thrown some away. To have one be like this perfect, I was like,
Yes. You have your own sourdough bacteria growth area, don't you?
Yes. So this one was jalapeno white cheddar, and it was amazing. I would have probably sat there and ate the whole loaf, but I was like, you know.
You sound like Josh and his, or Russell did when he was talking about his bacteria and all that. Josh with his homemade kombucha. Like, you sound like Josh there. And he's like, look at what I've made. I'm like, that's gross. I don't know what I'm looking at. So
I don't know. Like, it was just a nice weekend to get back in a good headspace.
I had to let Valerie go first because I thought I was going to puke from hearing your weekend.
You shut your mouth, Russell.
So great.
If I can stomach it, you can stomach it.
And then you have your husband, and the audience knows because we've talked about Josh before.
This guy's
a really smart guy. But he was really stupid this week. Oh, my God. To call you when he found out what was going on, and he still called you about the... Oh, my God. And by the way, a very similar battery problem is why my wife wound up making me sell my Harley. So that was very stupid for him not to just sneak another battery and to tell you about it.
Well,
it was a careless weekend, Josh.
To be fair, I didn't. Okay, Russell, I didn't make him sell his motorcycle. He just doesn't want to take it to the new house. He said, I'll get another one if he wants to ride because he's busy. But it was just a really adventurous Sunday. Okay.
It was gross. I thought I was going to puke hearing it.
The gross part is when you got to unpack the car and you got all the puke everywhere and you got to take the car seat out.
Oh, Amy, I've had that
Let's
multiple times.
Let's not talk about it anymore.
Look, we're making Angela sick. Angela, I'm so sorry.
You know what? It's life. It's life. That's what happens.
I think we're going to lose people here.
Amy, you weathered it well. You say you're not wearing makeup. I think you look as pretty as you always do. So whatever you did, you know, and whatever you went through, you're okay.
Yes.
It's all right.
Okay. Puppies and rainbows, Angela. I like it. I like puppies and rainbows. Okay. I'm not saying anything.
I don't want to tell the truth.
That's okay. It's good to lie sometimes, Russell. It's your turn to go.
I'm not being bad. It is awful. Okay. So, I have nothing that I'm still grossed out. Okay. We went to the canoe. The canoe is like this spectacular restaurant and bar on the Chattahoochee River.
Nice.
And this weekend was perfect in Atlanta. It's freezing again now, typical. Oh. But it was perfect this weekend. And we spent Friday night having old fashions and martinis sitting next to the riverbank on the Chattahoochee River having bartenders bring us new drinks. So we had a great weekend. All weekend is symbolized by that picture, sitting there having drinks. It was a great weekend.
That sounds amazing.
But I got to tell you, I'm just so grossed out.
Angela, you're welcome, you Russell. Do? I wanted you to share in my experience, okay? And like, we're
won.
Family.
You won. You're the champion. Yeah.
You traumatized Russell. You
traumatized him. Okay. He deserves it sometimes to be traumatized by my life.
I'm traumatized. I could just volcanic. I can't imagine.
It's just, it was my exorcist. What was it, like an analogy or comparison, right? That's what really puts you over the edge.
It's, I'm a father, so actually it's happened to me personally. So I that's why I'm grossed out, because it brings back those visceral memories of awfulness.
You good. Angela, what did you do this weekend?
And don't say anything gross, Angela.
No, actually, well, there was one gross thing.
Okay. Go for it.
I could share it since that seems to be the flavor of the day. But I should start off with, on Saturday, I was with Procyon Wildlife. I'm one of the volunteer directors for this organization that rescues, rehabilitates, and releases Ontario wildlife back to nature. And so we were at a local, we were invited by the Tottenham and Beaton Commerce Group to have a booth at the Home and Artisan Show. So I was there on Saturday. So we talked about our work that we do rescuing injured and orphaned animals. And then we had this gentleman who came up, from very older gentleman. And he said, in the 1950s, when I was really young, we ate porcupines for lunch and dinner. And I said, really, you did? But the gross part was, he proceeded to explain to us how they would prepare the porcupine and boil it and cook it. And Deborah and I, my colleague, and she's our custodian director, we're looking at each other and thinking, we rescue these poor babies. We don't want to hear about how you cook and eat them.
Angela, so
that was rather awful and traumatizing for me.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That was just a poor, lonely man.
I think he was, because it was a lengthy conversation, and it was an excruciating detail.
Somebody's telling stories about me today, because I played pickleball all weekend with people 30 years younger than me. So somewhere there's someone saying, and I played pickleball this weekend with this really old man.
You are much, much younger than this older man. Much, much younger. And much more suave and debonair, too, I'm sure.
Uh-oh. I need to learn to play pickleball, Russell. I want to play pickleball against you and Melinda one day. I want to learn to play it, though. I don't, because I feel like if I'm going to play both y'all, I got to be on like competitive level.
All right, Amy, I'll join you.
In 4 weeks, I'll be in Houston, and I'm driving up for lunch. We'll play pickleball that day if you want. If you can get Josh to get him off.
Oh,
yeah, take off that day.
That's easy. Yeah. I just have to tell him Russell's coming, and we need to beat him. And he'll be like, all right, okay, we'll be in pickleball, because he's competitive. I'll bring the racket. I'm not competitive. I like it. Well, Russell, it's your moment to shine.
Okay. Two things. Number one, I want to thank everyone listening to our podcast. Angela, we are top 10 independent book podcast in America. We're very grateful when we got that rating. We want to thank everybody that's listening to us. Most people listen to us, I don't know, at work, working out. The reason we're 45 minutes long is it's the average workout. So you have enough podcasts to listen to us for an entire workout. Most people don't watch this on Monday mornings. Amy actually changed the label and everything, so it's easier to find us. Once she changed it so it was more visible, I could even find us on the podcast channels. Amy, what channels can they find us on?
Yeah, so you guys, all the places I go to look for podcasts is Amazon, Spotify, Good Pods, Apple, Google Play, all of your standard ones. There are other ones out there. Those are just my go-to. All you got to do is type in Author Talk, look for Crimson, Red, and Gold, because I was selfish and those are my favorite, and that's what we did. and we will pop up. Every episode that we've ever done will be up there. And if you want to watch our videos and engage with us, you can go on over to Facebook. You can friend or follow any one of us. My page, my personal page, is public. So feel free to pop over there if you want to talk about these little hostage situations I got going on with my kids and you want to check them out. You can go over there. Go over to our Facebook group if you want to watch us. I control what comes out of my mouth. My facial expressions say
different. I didn't today.
Okay. No, Russell did not. But if you want to have a good laugh at us, with us, we're generally laughing at ourselves or each other or with each other. So come on over and watch those. YouTube also has every single one of our videos from day one. And we've been doing this for 8 years and we do not miss a Monday, you guys. So whether those are pre-recorded because Christmas is happening or what, we are here Monday mornings at 10 a.m. But Russell, you also had a question you mentioned in our Facebook group that you wanted to talk a little bit about today.
Yeah, it was on our Facebook group, Author Talk channel, and I posted it last night. This was a main discussion on a couple of other writers' channels. And I thought, you know, we talk about this maybe every few months. It's been maybe a year since we actually talked about this, and I thought we should talk about this subject a little bit. And it was, the question was, please explain the difference between a self-publishing company that assists for a fee and a vanity publisher that charges a fee. And there was a lot of new authors struggling with this and trying to figure out what to do. And I thought, you know, this is something that we should talk about because a big percentage of our listeners are either new authors or want to be law authors or dreaming to be authors.
Right. Okay. So a lot goes into that. And this isn't necessarily, I guess, going to be the nicest conversation, but I'll try to ease the blow for you. You have a lot of, back in the day, you had vanity presses, right? You paid to put their press name on your book, and that was pretty much it. You ended up paying for everything else. You just leveraged their name, right? They took a lot of money from authors without producing quality products, right? Quality books, which every author wants a quality book put out there because your blood, heart, and soul and tears and everything go into these books, right? So when everyone kind of started catching on to vanity presses, not all of them, there are some really great hybrid presses out there. So don't come for me. I'm not saying all hybrid presses or vanity presses. What I am saying is most of them are vanity presses in disguise. So what I mean by that is you will have a lot of hybrid publishers that have found out that you have published a book, whether you've attended a summit, a conference, or you've put it out on social media. They will hound you. I mean, like, I really, really want to publish this book. Please let us publish it. They are hounders. Okay. Is what I call them. And you end up paying for everything and you can only use their people. You can't outsource. You can't find your own people that might be cheaper because you're friends with them or whatever, right? And it ends up costing you a lot more money to hybrid publish with some hybrid publishers, okay? Not all. Disclaimer, not all hybrid presses are vanity presses. There are some really great ones out there and I can put a list out if you want those. Now, most of them are going to be that way and it will just take a lot more money to publish with them than it would have to self-publish. Your royalty splits are going to be different. Your investment's different. You're starting off in the hole thousands of dollars. I mean, we're talking anywhere between $7,000, $10,000, $12,000, depending on what genre you write in. If it's a children's book genre, you're starting in the hole a lot more. You're probably closer to $10,000 to $15,000 because you have illustrations, right? And you can only use their people. And you're paying for it. They're not paying for anything. A traditional publisher, most people know, they're going to fund your book. They hold on to the rights of your book for about 10 years so they can hopefully make their investment back and break even, right? That's a traditional publishing house. But the difference between self-publishing and the hybrid vanity press version, okay, the vanity press in disguise, you can self-publish your book. You're in more control of your book, the quality product that's printed, the quality illustrations that goes into it, the amount of money that you're willing to spend, right? You're in control of all of that. So when your royalties come back, you get all of that. So you're slowly paying yourself back, right? Those kinds of things. That's really what the difference is going to be. You're in control when you self-publish. When you go through a hybrid publisher that is acting as a hybrid publisher, but is a vanity press, okay? I'm going to reiterate this again. there are some really great hybrid presses that are not functioning as a vanity press. There are some great ones out there. So I'm not saying all of them, but the ones that are vanity presses acting as a hybrid, you're going to spend a crap ton more money for a shit quality book. Okay. Like I can't ease that without saying that because it's the truth, right? We have all seen them, right? Every single one of us have seen a book where we're like, oh my gosh, how did this get printed? You're missing pages. Your illustrations are blurry. The back text is blurry. The cover doesn't sing to your audience, right? You lose all your creative outlet that goes into your book. You pay a crap ton of money and you have a quality book that you can't sell because it's not of actual quality. So here you are sitting, let's just do children's books, right? $10,000, $15,000 in the hole. You can't sell your book because it's not of quality. So you have to go and find someone else to fix your book. Generally, it's an Amy, okay? Because Amy fixes a lot of this stuff. And then you invest more money because then you have to redo your cover. Then you have to redo your illustrations, right? And now you're doing it yourself. So it's costing you more money. So instead of being in the hole when you originally publish a book, depending on your genre, anywhere between, I'm going to say 5 to 10,000 just to be safe. Okay. Sometimes it's less than that. It's closer to 10 if you're doing children's books and you're looking for an illustrator and you have to pay those. And that depends on how many illustrations, right? So we're going to go between 5 to 10. If you self-publish a book, you would make all that back with all your royalties as they come in, right? But instead, if you go with a vanity press that's acting as a hybrid, you've invested $10,000, $15,000, and then you have to invest another 5 to 7 for me to fix it. Okay, so then you're starting off in the hole $20,000 instead of just your initial 5 to 10, right? So much longer to make it back. You're going to have to be double paying for stuff because you're going to have to fix stuff later on. If a publisher approaches you for a book and you have not submitted to them, run, okay? Because they're just wanting money from you. And they are the piranhas, is what I say, for first-time authors. Or older authors that are getting into it, you know, they've retired and they're wanting to put out some books and do those things, they will just fall prey to them, to the piranhas. So you really have to be careful. If you haven't submitted to this publisher and they've reached out to you, please do not sign any contract with them. If you get a contract, have a lawyer or someone that you know that can look it over, because they will really screw you out of things where you're out. I'm talking thousands of dollars, you guys. So that's the difference. But yet again, I am also always pro indie or self-publishing because it puts the money right back into your pocket. Now, yes, you have to pay for it and it is initial investment, and hiring someone like me after you've paid for that puts you more in the hole. Yes, it does. But it's also bringing you out of the hole because of the revenue and the net profit and all of those things that you have when you sell your book, when you have someone helping you market it, right? So those are your pros and cons. There's a lot more cons with a vanity press acting as a hybrid publisher. There's ways for you to look at that. Like I've mentioned, self-publishing puts all the money back in your pocket. You have to do all the legwork. Yes, you do. Like that's a true statement. But when you write a book, you are an authorpreneur, right? And so you have to get out there and get your hustle on. You have to go into it with that mindset. So those are the pros and cons of them. I hope I didn't burst anybody's bubble or piss anybody off today. But hey, it's Monday and it's, you know, it might have happened and I'm sorry. But in all the years that I've done this and I've seen Sandy do it, those are our experiences and where we kind of pull people away from certain publishing companies and stuff that are vanity presses functioning as a hybrid publisher. So be leery is my tidbit for the day. Did that answer your question, Russell? I hope it did. Okay, fabulous. Well, Valerie, let's get Angela talking about her album, what else she's got coming out. Let's get Angela talking.
Mm-hmm. Angela, I am just so excited to hear your whole background because you're not only a singer, an amazing singer, but you're like a poet and an author of crime. So what a diverse background you have. Can you just start us with what about your album coming out, please?
Oh, yes. It's called In the Breeze. See that? Mm-hmm.
It looks great.
It's Celtic inspired, and I'm Dutch by background, and some people have asked me, well, why Celtic music? Why aren't you singing Dutch music? But there's something about the Celtic music that whenever I hear it, my heart just leaps and dances. So I have always wanted to do an album with Celtic music. I was trained in opera. So it was a lot of fun doing this album because My voice can be very operatic. And so part of this was a bit of a challenge in taking the opera out of my voice for certain pieces. So that was I'm sorry, Russell. If I'd known, I would have sung you an aria. Instead, I picked something from the album for later on. But so it's a lot of fun. And I love the challenges in playing around with my voice and making it do different things. Because after
all, the voice is an instrument. As a soprano soloist, how did you, make this into this type of music? I mean, did you have to study it? Did you have to, just research it? How did you make that transition?
Well, I worked with a fantastic team of people, because honestly, anything you ever do in life is really part of a team. And I had expressed, as long as you're singing, you always need a vocal coach. I don't care what anyone says, because it keeps your voice working properly and limber. Mm-hmm. And so the current coach I'm working with, her name is Cynthia Fox Fucile, and we were working on opera pieces, and I told her I really love the Celtic music and it's been my dream to do a CD. And she says, well, have you heard of Lorena McKennitt? And I said, well, I have. I love her music. She says, well, let's work on some of her pieces just to get more acquainted with, besides what you've grew up with listening to as a child, because although Dutch, my mother's middle brother married a Scots woman. So I did get exposed to Scottish music quite a bit. So anyway, I worked with her and I had some original pieces that I had written. One of them is a sea shanty, which was a lot of fun to write. I belong to the Wordsmiths, which is a group based out of Alliston, Ontario. And during COVID, we met by Zoom. And so one of the challenges for that month was to write about the sea. So I wrote a sea shanty. So that's on the album. But I worked with a strong team. So there was Cynthia. Cynthia introduced me to Mars Giammarco, who is an amazing musician, an Emmy winner, and owns Red Egg Studio. So he produced the music for me. And Mars said, well, you've got to work with Jason Wilson, who is a two-time Juno nominee. Because he does this interesting blend of Celtic and reggae music. It's amazing to listen to. So he says, we need his input to make sure that the sound is authentic. So any project, whether it's writing a book or whether it's producing a CD, you need to have a team that you love and respect and listen and learn. You know, we all have to, our entire lives, keep listening and keep learning.
I totally agree. And it says you have three original pieces of music on here. And so you mentioned one. What are the other two? And they're based on your poetry. Is that correct?
Yes, they are. The next one is called I Will Be in the Breeze, which is inspiration for the title of the album, which is In the Breeze. And this is a poem that I wrote. I was outside gardening and some words came to me and I wrote them down and it became a poem. In remembrance, it was close to Mother's Day, and it was in remembrance of my mom. And so I wrote it down, and I shared it with a musician friend of mine. Her name is Raina Valcourt. And Raina said, oh, this is so beautiful. I hear a song in here. She says, can I write a song for you? I said, please, that'd be amazing. Go ahead. So she wrote this beautiful song. Now, it's very contemporary and very challenging vocally because it really shows off the operatic side of my voice. So that's the second song. And the third song is a funny story too. This one is called Do You Hear the Drums? And most musicians do have other jobs, other careers, obviously. So Casey Cole owns a fantastic house painting business in Orangeville, which is not far from where we live. And he came over one day to do a few little repairs around the house for us, painting wise. And in between coats drying, he says, you got to hear my new instrument. I said, sure, Casey, what is it? He says, it's called the hand pan drum. I said, really? And now it looks like a UFO. It sits on your lap. It's basically like a steel drum. It's got 10 notes along the surface of it, and it's in D minor. He starts playing it, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. Play some more. And as I listened, words and a melody started to jump into my head almost right away. So that is the basis for Do You Hear the Drums? So that's the background between the three original songs on the album.
That is so amazing. I feel like I can just, you know, and as a, you know, as a writer myself, just like littlest things inspire you. And it sounds like that happened to you too, like with the poetry and then one thing led to another and just connecting with all these musicians. It was like fate.
So. A friend of mine said recently, how do you find all these people? And I said, I don't know. You put it in the etheric and you let yourself be vulnerable enough so that they know who you are and know the kinds of things that you love to do. And then all of a sudden these beautiful collaborations result. It's just amazing.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think Russell had some questions about the opera side of your life.
Actually, I was laughing at her description of the third song and how she had a jam session to write the song is exactly what she was doing. And the funniest part, Angela is such a musician. When she was telling us about her jam session and the guy with the instrument, she said, and it was in D major.
D minor.
D minor. You gave us the note. I thought that was so musician.
Yes.
I love your description.
and so that's already been released. Is that correct?
Pardon?
Your album, it's already out and about?
Oh, yes. It was out on the 19th of this month, so last week. And you can get it on
Spotify. A few days ago.
Yeah, just last week. So Spotify, Apple, iTunes, all the major online stores, you can find it.
Mm-hmm. That's so exciting. That's so exciting for you. And how long did it take you to get all that, I guess, to fruition?
I would say we started recording in the studio in July of last year. And there were a few little minor hiccups, which are normal. So the music was done probably mid-January. And then I took my time figuring out where I would get the CDs produced, although I buy everything digitally, I have a lot of friends who like to have CDs. So I did find a source that was quite reasonable that could produce the CDs for me. And then I uploaded, I went with a venue called DistroKids, which you upload the music tracks and then they do the distribution part for you. So it goes to all the major online retail stores that way. So yeah, so that took a little bit of time. I had to design my album artwork, which I did. So so I needed a little bit of time for that. And then I spoke with our publicist, Mickey Mickelson from Creative Edge. And Mickey said, usually allow a month before you release the album. So that's why it ended up being April 19th. So we wanted to give everyone enough time to do their job properly and efficiently.
That sounds awesome. And you know, even that you got to design your own album cover and just be, you were, you know, so hands-on. So that could, if you do decide to do a next one, you're like, I got this. Yeah. I'm gonna keep writing some more poetry. I already know all the good musicians. We got, like you said, you know, a jam session. You can go forward.
Yeah, for sure. What I do is I do a lot of walks in the wood and I keep my iPhone with me. And if I, melodies and poetry usually pop up when I'm in nature most of the time. So when I hear something in my head, then I sing it into my phone. So at least I have some kind of a record of it, because it's like a dream. Things can float in and out. So if you don't capture that moment of creativity right then and there, then you've lost it possibly. So
I totally agree. I end up texting myself or emailing myself, you know, like the same thing, just like, don't let it get out of your head. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And you'll be like, I had a great idea.
Those are the gifts that come from God and the universal intelligence. So you got to respect it and act right away.
Yes, absolutely. So let's, and then also, now you have a book coming out. That is so exciting.
Yes, also. I do. Yes. It's called Past Life's Revenge.
Mm-hmm. And I think Russell wanted to jump in here because it is a crime novel. What would you like to share?
Well, it's not. It's different than.
Yes.
She's found a niche that is different than what other people write about. And Angela, I give you big compliments on that.
Thank you.
It's And only Angela can explain it because it's a weird niche that she's figured out. And, you know, I just think it was really creative to think about. And when you read the description that when I read the description of the book, it did what it was supposed to do. It made me want to find out more about it.
Good.
So
awesome.
You did a great job.
The book worked. Yay!
I'm not going to say anything else. Describe your book because only you should do that.
Okay, I will. No problem. My pleasure. So Past Life's Revenge is about a young man. His name is David Harris. And he's had horrible nightmares and visions his entire life. He can't understand it. His parents, when he was younger, tried to help him. It didn't work. As an adult, they went away for a while. But as he got closer to the age of 30, these debilitating dreams returned, and with a vengeance. And he's at a loss. I mean, he's hardly sleeping at night. So one day, he's on his way to work. He's a lawyer, actually. He's on his way to work. He almost gets hit by a car, of course, by a beautiful woman. Her name is Emma Jackson. And so after a while, he begins, she's a psychic. And so what happens is she begins to think that as they get to know each other, that these dreams that he shared with her are not from a childhood trauma, but for something that happened before. So basically, David soon learns after a number of past life regressions that he was murdered in his most recent life. And he reincarnated almost immediately. So actually, after a little bit of research, he realizes his killer is still alive. So David cannot rest until he's had vengeance. At first, he thought it would be enough just to know what happened. Okay, I was murdered, move on, closure. He can't find closure. So he goes on a mission to hunt down this killer. So he's hunting down the killer of his previous self.
I'd hate to be that guy's criminal defense attorney.
Yes.
Because no judge, the judge would throw you in jail if you tried to use that as a defense. So that makes it more interesting.
And that is what I found challenging and fun to write about because, yes, he knows this, but now it's all about collecting the evidence to prove it so that at least a cold case gets solved. And so that's the whole winding journey that David and Emma end up being together. They end up working on this together in order to solve this crime.
That's incredible. What a twist of fate, even, that he would know that. And so I guess the psychic is the one leading him on the path to discovery.
Yes.
And then, and so does he know the killer, or he's just trying to find, or he's no, trying to find the killer?
Actually, I would say read the book because I don't want to give away too much. But basically in the book, after he realizes it's revealed to him what his name was during a session. And so they go to the good old internet and they find, yes, indeed, someone of this name was murdered in this city at such and such a date. And they're going, oh, my goodness. And so from there, little layer by layer starts unraveling so that they begin to find clues. And eventually, when they feel they found enough clues, they do go to the police.
Angela, be careful. Don't do too much.
That's it. That's all you're going to get.
Thank you.
No, but I do love a good mystery like that because it is like just the one thing leads to another, but there's always so many paths of discovery and then leading the reader through that, you know, exploration. And just, it's going to, that, like Russell said, that's a fascinating plot line, that the fact that, you know, you can delve into so many just different angles for the characters to, you know, take part in. And then it's very introspective on their part that they're going to be able to, you know, understand and then possibly, you said, solve a cold case. But and then the killer, if the killer's still alive, that's even better. Yeah. So that's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it was fun to write. It really was.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get from, you know, soprano to author?
Well, actually, I don't really know how to separate the two because it's just so part of me. So when When you write, and I think we all know this, if you think about it, when you're really in the zone writing, there's a sort of a cadence and a rhythm and a beauty to the way you're writing. And the reader will know that the words are flowing if you are in that zone. So there is a cadence. There's a pattern. There's a musicality to writing as well. I can't really separate them. I probably was writing first. I remember writing my first poem when I was 11. But always there's that musicality that's like poetry, especially, like there's a musicality that associates with it. I didn't really get formal training singing lessons until much later in life. Because, you know, life gets in the way, you get a job, you get married, et cetera, et cetera. But I promised myself this last decade that I'm just following my dreams and the interests that I have. So I can't really separate either of them too well, Valerie. They're part of my soul, both those things.
I absolutely agree too. And the, like you said, the musicality and the cadence of the words. I saw Jane Eyre last week on stage, and there's a scene, and I was like, what kind of zone was Charlotte Bronte in when she was writing this passage? Because I was just like, my mouth was open if you read it sometimes, but you see it acted on stage, you're just like, that was brilliant. That was brilliant writing. And this, you know, and just like you said, making that connection to get the story to flow well, that's an amazing passage for yourself as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you have plans for another book anytime soon?
Oh, yes. I'm at about chapter 19 of the second book. It's the same characters. But because they did so well in the first book solving their crime, they're now going to set up a paranormal task force of trying to help solve cold cases. So that's the subject of the second book. So I think I can keep that going as a series. I think there's more that Emma and David have to tell me.
Yes. That sounds awesome. What great characters.
Jumping back to your album, because you mentioned this earlier, that you were asked to sing. I'm assuming Mickey asked you if you would sing. And so I know that we're rounding out. And I was just thinking, what better way to round out than to have you close us out with a song?
Sure. Sounds like a great plan. I just hope that technically I've got this right. So bear with me two quick little seconds. Let's see.
What a great treat.
Softly call, Lord God, and joy be with me.
That was beautiful, Angela. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Did the mic squeak a little in the beginning? I was worried it did, or was it all right?
No, you were good.
I heard it squeak. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Cool. Because I was practicing and hoping that this little tech setup I did was going to work all right. So good.
Oh, no, it was great. It was absolutely wonderful. Yes. So with that closing us out, oh my gosh, let's do last minute questions, comments, anything like that after that beautiful song. I don't really want to do that, but that's how we close it out. So let's do that. And then we will let Angela get back to her day.
Okay, thank you. It was so nice.
Angela, tell people where they can find your book and your album.
Well, the book is not out just yet. The book is going to be out on July 9th. Because I'm working with Mickey Nicholson at Creative Edge. And so he said to have the book ready. And then now's the opportunity for reviewers to take a look at it before we officially release it. But it is available on Amazon and all the other online bookstores, but as a pre-order at the moment. But July 9th, it will be officially released.
Nice. Wonderful. Valerie, you.
Yes, Angela, I'm so happy for you on all these different experiences and the way things have come about for you. So best of luck, and you're going to do awesome.
Oh, thank you, Valerie. That is so nice. I really appreciate your kind words.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, Angela, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning or afternoon to come and hang out with us and for singing that beautiful, beautiful song. And I want to tell everyone that you can go and get Angela's album and pre-order her book. So make sure you take advantage of that while you can. But Angela, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a wonderful and fun time.
It was fun for me too. Thank you very much. You're all very gracious hosts. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. Well, you guys, we hope you all have a fantastic Monday, a great rest of your week. And until next Monday, bye for now, everybody.
Bye-bye.